Infinity War. Huh. Good God, y'all. What's it good for? Making money, hunty. Marvel just broke box office records for Black Panther, and now Avengers Infinity War just topped that for the highest weekend opening ever.
Infinity War features characters from the Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy in a battle royale with Thanos, who spends most of the film searching for the Infinity Stones. Red hearts, orange stars, yellow moons, green clovers, blue diamonds, and purple horseshoes, all in order to control the universe.
Joining us to chat about the lucky new film is Brian Sweeney, who probably has the largest collection of Marvel comic book characters merchandise of anyone I'd care to be associated with. Listen as we chat with Brian about Marvel films' impact on Hollywood.
Does bisexual Lighty hint at Captain America's true feelings for Bucky?
And the homoerotic tension between Star-Lord and Thor. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Infinity. Oh, I'm sorry. Feast of Fun!
Again!
What are you doing? Who met who?
Before you say another word, Javert! Before you put me in the chains again!
There was one thing I must do.
You must think me mad! A man like you cannot change a man such as you.
One day more.
Another day, another destiny.
This never-ending road to Calvary. These men who seem to know my crime.
This joy will come a second time, one day more.
I did not live until today.
How can I live when we are parted?
One day more. One more day.
How the hell does that go?
One day.
One
and they
go.
And they say, tomorrow we will see what God in heaven has in store.
One more day.
One day more.
Catch him in the back. When he falls. When there's a free-for-all.
You thought we were going to talk about Infinity War, didn't you? No, today's podcast is all about Les Mis, the most amazing musical ever. Go see it again.
For Revolution.
It's now at the Roxy Box Theater for a limited engagement time.
One day more.
Tomorrow we shall nip it in the bud. We will join these little schoolboys. We will wet themselves with blood.
And then they're like, put her in the back.
Get a little tick.
What's the name of that actor who did Jean Valjean Jones?
Hugh Jackman?
No, the other one. The one that doesn't know how to sing, like us.
Russell Crowe?
Yes.
He's Javert.
He's like...
But he doesn't even do the voice. Like,
do the voice
for Javert, yeah. You need to have a fucking booming voice. You have to be like, Javert, at last we meet it. You are prisoner 4-0-6-0-4-0-8-1, whatever.
And Ryan's excited because we are talking about Infinity War, a film that culminates in 10 years of Marvel movie madness. Mm-hmm. Christopher Michael Ramos on our group Feast of Fun on Facebook says, I can't wait to hear Fausto Fernos, Mark Fillion, and Brian Sweeney review Infinity War.
See, he likes me. He does like you. Some of the people do like you. Not everybody hates you.
One day more.
And of course you don't.
One more day till revolution. We shall nip it in the bud.
You know, the funny thing is that you're bringing up Les Mis, but it kind of feels like Les Mis and the Marvel Infinity War could be... have the similar
universes
theme.
Could cross over.
Yeah.
Because Wolverine's in it.
That's right. My God, I just thought about that. But it also feels like...
And Cyclops. Cyclops is in the movie.
He's not going to be in the Infinity Wars, is he?
No. I mean, he wasn't. But he could be in part four, I guess.
Is
Who
there
knows?
Four parts?
There's another one next
Coming.
Summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't you notice that it ended? Where, like, they didn't really talk
about
anything?
That's the big thing.
You thought, like, Ant-Man was just going to clean up everything? He's just mopping. He's just brooming all the dust up.
That's what I'm
watching. It's a living.
That's my big question. I mean, spoiler alert for a lot of people out there.
Half of the superheroes die.
Half
of
the people. Half the universe dies
in Infinity War. That's the big spoiler.
Who cares about that? The big thing about it is that this is only part one. Of how many parts? Do we even know how many parts?
17 more. So we're just going to keep going.
I mean,
Infinity Movies, Infinity War.
Until Robert Downey Jr. is like literally 70 years old.
Well, Chris Evans said he is done playing the Captain America character, yeah. And they didn't kill him off.
Well, they shot... Well, they haven't yet, but they shot...
the other movie, both, I imagine.
They have shot them together like they did with Lord of the Rings. And
I thought the big revelation was that Captain America was in love with Bucky, and they would have a same-sex kiss in this movie.
Yeah, I thought that too.
The rumors were being spread on... I don't know if you noticed this on the internet.
Bisexual lighting, right?
Bisexual lighting that they showed Captain America in a wash in pink and violet-blue light.
Yes.
He couldn't come out in the original ones because of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but now he can.
One day more.
It is what all these...
I dreamed a dream of days gone by.
And notice how all these women are just...
That was Bucky.
But now the dream has died. Tied and wasted.
And Black Panther's like, what
is going on here?
Please leave my country.
This.
So the question is like,
type of thing is outlawed in Wakanda. We don't talk about it, but it is.
Because they eat the poo-poo, right?
Yeah.
But how many movies are there going to be? Is it going to be three or is there just going to be two?
There is one more Avengers movie that they've shot and it's coming out the... sequel or whatever, mm-hmm. So this is like part one of Infinity War. They haven't given what the title is for the next one yet. I'm sure that will be very soon.
Won't it be Infinity War Part Two?
No, I mean apparently it's not, because otherwise they would have just had it.
The madness of
Thanos.
I think
the reason why they didn't, because I feel like I was duped into feeling like this was the final film. Because maybe I didn't research enough going into it. And so when I got to the end of the film and I was like, oh, it's not. Of course, they're going to stretch it out. And of course, they're not going to advertise that because people are all going to want to see how this ends. And if they know that it's part one of two, they'll just wait for the DVD or wait for it to get on Netflix or something before they watch it.
Yeah, I mean, no one did. The movie made all the money. There's no more money left. It's all in Marvel's house.
$630 million
Thanos
worldwide.
Is just sitting on a big pile of money wherever he's in his little Buddhist.
War, Infinity
Island.
Characters, Infinity sequels, Infinity movie. This is basically, in some ways, you know, the big fear was that Thanos was going to get all the Infinity Stones and destroy half of the population of the universe. But in our world, the Infinity War threatens to destroy all of film by engulfing the Marvel Universe. Might be engulfing all films. And if you start seeing how the Star Wars franchise is starting to borrow so much from, in the sense of filmmaking, that all films are now starting to be these weird little franchises that...
Everybody gets their own story, everybody gets a backstory, everybody becomes their own superhero.
But
that's not healthy.
But unlike, Star Wars, I don't know anyone who's like, man, I wonder what's going to happen in Episode 9, whatever. People were like, Last Jedi was fine, or it wasn't. But... people really want to know what's going to happen with Infinity War. Mm-hmm. They want to know what's going on. And Ant-Man and the Wasp comes out in July. Mm-hmm. And then...
Captain Marvel comes out
when? Yes, next March.
And all this stuff takes place before Infinity War?
I think Ant-Man and Wasp, I think I read that it takes place between Civil War and Infinity War.
Okay.
And then Captain Marvel... flashes back to the 90s, and that takes place in the 90s. So,
hot.
And that's...
Do you know the storyline for that?
Yeah, kind of. They haven't really given much, but...
Captain Marvel used to be a dude, then they changed... then she had a sex change, right? And now she's a woman? Or how does that work?
She's Carol Danvers now, but... I think that's who Brie Larson is playing in the movie, but she used to be like Marvel. There's been a couple Captain Marvels, and...
One time they were a dude, right?
And yeah. One time it was a thick guy named Captain Carvel.
Yeah, and Fudgy the Whale. He and Fudgy the Whale used to go on adventures.
Go on adventures and
in my tum-tum.
So, what did you think about Chris Evans' gorgeous beard? And he's finally a brunette. Because one of the things that Chris Evans hated about playing the role of Captain America, he said in an interview, is that they had to dye his hair blonde.
He still had blonde highlights in it, though.
But it's definitely like he was like the drag queens who don't like to dye their wigs blonde. He had black roots in this and a brown beard.
Just like Jimmy Fallon.
Yay.
Thank you. Reference. He has black roots.
That doesn't make sense.
I don't get it.
His band is called The Roots.
What are you talking about? And they're black. Well, there's a couple white guys.
Why did Doctor Strange just take the green gem and, you know, video scrub the timeline backwards?
Why didn't Thanos just take the goddamn... Well, okay, because then there would... Because the script didn't call for it. But Thanos could have taken the Time Stone and just brought back his planet. But whatever. Then there wouldn't be a movie. It's the same, like, question of, like, in Star Trek Generations, when they're like, why didn't they just go back in time and kill Malcolm McDowell when he was, like, taking a shit or whatever? And you can say that for, like, any of the movies, and it's because then there wouldn't be a movie. So, like, some of the stuff, you have to just be like, well, this is why. But they could easily be like, oh, because that's not how the Time Stone works or something. And be like, you can only go back a certain amount of time. And I'm sure that there's, like, reasons. But, yeah, Dr. Strange, we'll get to it. So, the beginning. Let's start. Let's break this movie down.
Let's start at the very beginning.
It's a wonderful place to start, right?
Begin.
To begin with ABC.
So, it starts with... in the next few minutes from Thor Ragnarok, everyone's dead except like Thor, who's getting his head crushed like Kids in the Hall, and Loki was really cool, and he got to say a nice callback from the Avengers. What's because that? We have a Hulk, and then they got that out of the way right away of like, yeah, but they have a Hulk, so why doesn't Hulk just come in and beat the fuck out of Thanos? And they're like, well, this is why, because Thanos can beat the shit out of the Hulk. And so they got that out of the way, and they're like, here, okay, so, all right, good, we're done with that. He can beat the shit out of Thor, and then kills Heimdall, kills Loki. I don't know where Valkyrie was from Thor Ragnarok, but yeah, and then they send him down. Nice little Doctor Strange moment. And he's like that, and then Hulk is like, Thanos is coming, and he goes, who? And then boom.
Don't forget, Hulk rode the gay rainbow from the spaceship all the way down to the Earth.
Yes.
You know, Brian, sometimes hearing you talk about these Marvel movies is like hearing somebody really excited describing their favorite porn.
Thank you.
You love these films so much that you're like, almost like out of breath to say your next word.
Well, then the next, and then you're after, like,
so it's Doctor Strange, Hulk, and what's the Chinese guy?
Wong. And yeah, they wanted to.
You sure you're right about that?
They wanted to get nice. They wanted to get a deli sandwich. But anyway, so then we go into the part which is the only part where like two people are having a normal conversation about anything. Where we have Tony and Gwyneth talking about something that I think is going to play into the next movie.
The relationship.
And him wanting to have a baby.
Him having a dream that there was some type of life. That she was pregnant, or that they brought some form of life into the world. And then Tony just busts, or Doctor Strange just busts in, and he's like, come on. And then the movie
is
really...
Is that Who Are You?
Yeah, and then the movie like really starts and gets going. And, like, it doesn't really stop from there. And then it's just, like, a lot of just dying and punching and stuff. And the Guardians seem to be, like, the stars of the movie. It very much was, like, a very Guardian-centric movie.
Well, especially because the Guardians have a relationship to Thanos, because you have the Green Woman. What's her name?
Gamora.
She was raised by Thanos, and you kind of get to see that backstory. So you know the emotional involvement and our emotional hatred for Thanos mostly comes through her, because the other people don't really even know who the fuck Thanos is.
And Ronan the Accuser, who was the original bad guy in the first Guardians of the Galaxy, who they did the dance off with, he is coming back and going to be in the Captain Marvel movie in March.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the relationship between Thor and Rocket Raccoon.
It's excellent. Wonderful. I love that you call him Rabbit, and then when he calls Groot Tree. God, it's Chris Hemsworth again steals a movie. He stole Ghostbusters, and now he's stolen Avengers Infinity War. He is amazing.
Handsome,
yeah,
gorgeous,
well, obviously, yeah, he's stunningly gorgeous, but
funny,
so
charming,
funny. His comic timing is amazing, and the original Thor movie is not.
It's a rock.
Yeah, it's hardly anything like this Thor that we have. He was more loose in the Avengers. He has some good lines in the original Avengers, like he's adopted and stuff like that, but he really became the Thor that we love in Age of Ultron, I feel. And then Ragnarok really leaned into making him just very funny and saying just funny shit and being funny. But they also had that moment where Rocket Raccoon comes to him and he's like, hey, like when he's like, all right, I gotta go be the captain. And he talks about how like everyone is dead because, and the way that, and Thor, you can tell, is just, he doesn't care anymore. Like, everything is, he even says, like, what else can I lose?
Well, because Asgard, his realm was destroyed. So they all get on this ship to leave.
Yeah.
And then that ship gets intercepted because they were heading to Earth, right?
Yeah.
That ship gets intercepted by Thanos.
And his father was.
Half the people on that ship were killed.
His brother's killed. His father was killed. His mother is killed. Mm-hmm. He has nothing anymore. His best friend was killed. And that's what he says in, like, Rocket Raccoon. The way that I took that scene was Rocket checking and being like, hey, are you okay, or do you just want to die? Because we need someone that actually wants to live. Because I don't, like, if we're going to go do this, if we're going to go meet Peter Dinklage, we can't just have a guy who's okay dying.
Do you feel like the raccoon is, like, in love with Thor? Right? Like,
well,
but is he in love with him because he's in love with Thor, or is he just kind of like kissing up to him to piss off Chris Pratt's character, Star-Lord?
Well, I think Chris Pratt, Star-Lord, calls him out that the reason why he wanted to do the Thor errand was because he wouldn't meet Thanos. He didn't.
So
he's just more staying alive, which I think makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But Thor is super cool, and he said that he likes the rabbit, so, like, Thor showed him some happiness and stuff, but it's also, I mean, obviously, it's because having Thor with Rocket Raccoon is just a wonderful way to play off each other, and
Now, remind me, what happened to Thor's hammer? What happened to Mew Mew?
Kate Blanchett broke it.
Oh, she
just
did.
Broke it. His sister. Yeah, his sister came back and he killed her.
She just crushes it with her hand.
Yeah, she just
Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, and then rips out
some
his eye.
Hammer. So let's kind of go look at all the people that died. I mean, half of the Marvel Avengers all die, right, in this movie?
Not the original one. I don't think any of the original Avengers died. Even, I mean, Hawkeye we don't see at all in the movie. Hawkeye and Ant-Man are both missing from the movie, but Captain America's alive, Tony Stark, Iron Man's alive. Black Widow, Hulk, they're all alive. Hulk isn't even in this movie except for the very beginning, which I thought was really interesting. That's another thing that they don't really, like, why is Hulk scared of coming out? Why doesn't he want to come out? There's a lot of...
There's a reason.
Yes.
So we see that...
It has to be.
We see
he keeps saying no.
Be like trying to, like, come on, Hulk, come out, come out.
And he's just like, Hulk keeps saying no. And that's...
And then he asks, he's like, Hulk is telling me no for some reason.
Yeah.
So he knows something is amiss?
We don't know.
I mean, he could just be scared because Thanos beat the shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? But, like, that's really cool also because, like, we have a year to sort of come up with these theories, and this is really quick. This is I've heard and read reviews about this movie, and the problem with this movie is it's not a movie in the sense of it's tough to say this is a good movie, because that to me means like anyone can watch it and you can't. It's to me, it's more of a season finale of a television show, where if you're going to watch an episode of something, you shouldn't just start with the season finale because you wouldn't know what's going on. There's all these characters and arcs that have been building up the entire season. And the problem is reviewers seem to still be judging these movies as normal movies as opposed to serialized stories.
Like they think it should stand alone.
Yeah. And the problem is with that, it's like, no, because like it's shown the audience is okay with this and excited about this and they love this, that all the things tie in together. So you can't keep saying these things. You have to judge this in a different way, as you would with like the finale of Breaking Bad or whatever.
Sure. Well, if you don't have time to watch like all 30 of the prequels to the, to this, was there 17, right?
It's or something a huge like that. Number.
I think 19 in all.
What would you say? Like the, just kind of, would you say like Age of Ultron and what event? Like give me three movies that you could watch and to watch before this that would help make everything make sense.
Probably both Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
Thor Ragnarok.
Age of Ultron?
So probably both Avengers. Civil War, then, and
that's like already you're looking at six or seven films.
Yeah, but that's also like, yeah, like that's what we sort
that's
of all
it's gonna take
that's
to
what,
enjoy it.
But it's also,
and this is why this represents such a significant shift in filmmaking, because it's almost like the filmmakers are saying, we're not interested in this film making sense to people who haven't watched, you know, dozens of our films in the past.
And it's because the audience, they were with like, they made just one Iron Man and they made just one Incredible Hulk, and you know, they did it real slowly, and then they were like, what about this? And they were like slowly like connecting things. And then they were adding more and more to it until people were like, yeah, we really like this. And it showed with the business, with the box office, that like the people were into this. So they were like, okay, we're going to keep doing this. And that's why I feel like the reviewers are wrong to review this in the same way that you review any other type of movie, because it is an anomaly in filmmaking.
So that's established. Where do you think this trend in making these films reliant on each other and not having a lot of exposition, where is this all headed? Like you say, the things are being ramped up. Where are we sort of speeding into? What can, you know, Marvel movies 10 years from now look like?
I mean, we're about to end it, I feel, with Avengers 4. And then we'll just go into another.
Are they going to recast the characters? Because a lot of these actors are aging out of the roles. And
I
don't want to be doing this anymore. And, you know, they made millions of dollars. And I feel like Chris Evans not interested in it anymore.
I think they're just going to retire those characters and add new characters, and they have like they're already like they have a deep bench. They don't have Iron Man or Captain America, but like they have fucking Black Panther has outgrossed the original Avengers, so it's not like they're hurting that much. So like if Chris Evans, as much as we love Captain America and we want him everywhere, there is a lot to be said also about leaving at the height before people ask you to leave. Before you can get tired of him, before, like, just like a TV show, like, before it gets into a certain season where it's like, oh, man, if they had only ended it here, things would have been perfect. But
I like seeing TV shows in decline. You know, part of me is like, I am fascinated in seeing how The Simpsons is kind of devolving into this kind of commercial garbage.
The Simpsons still has good episodes.
But it ruins the legacy of things, just like when there's a band that keeps releasing albums after,
like, that keeps on going long after it's reached its max.
Yes, once Kurt Loder was done with the podcast.
What did they say? When George Takei came on our podcast, we were done. And just to remind people,
we jumped the shark.
That is before RuPaul's Drag Race was even on the air. That's the thing, is like, you know, people sometimes write off franchises or projects or creative people, as you know, jumping the shark or reach its climax, and they should just give up. They should close up shop. And I'm like, you know, art to me is intrinsic to life as breathing or storytelling. We need to have stories. We need good stories as human beings to make sense of our world and to have meaning. And as long as Marvel wants to put out good movies, I don't think they should ever, you know, say, okay, we're done making films. Bye, everybody.
But, like, what they have right now, if all of the existing Avengers or whatever, the ones that have all had three movies, which is just Thor, Iron Man, and Captain America, and the Avengers, as we know it, is gone, we have Spider-Man, we have the Guardians of the Galaxy, we have Black Panther, mm-hmm. we have Doctor Strange. Like, all, we have many, many things, many great... We have Ant-Man, which, mm-hmm. like, people enjoy Ant-Man, and it's like, we have these things, and so... They've shown time and time again that they can make anyone care about any character, and they can make a franchise. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy is beloved.
Mr. Poopy Pants gets his own movie.
Yes, Mr. Mm-hmm. Poopy Pants finally will come, and you will love it. And then when you see Poopy Pants mm-hmm. and Hawkeye together, mm-hmm. you will know why they sustain in such a great way.
And I remember reading before, too, is like even like the franchise, like Iron Man and Thor, when they were just in comics, weren't super popular.
They weren't. Iron Man was a... nothing character in a way, in the sense of like he was the best that Marvel could get, but the reason why they were like able to sort of do what they wanted in 2008 was because there was not many people knew what Iron Man was or who Iron Man was. They knew the name and maybe what he looked like, but he wasn't a major character. And the same thing with Thor and Captain America. Like, all of these were not big characters. Their big characters were Spider-Man and mm-hmm. the X-Men and
Hulk.
And there was Hulk, too, but Hulk is a really... Like, they like the way the Hulk looks, but he's always been tough to make a movie about. But Spider-Man and, like, the X-Men were the big ones, and they were in different studios. Mm-hmm. And so they took so much time and made us care about people like Thor and Doctor Strange and all of these weird characters.
Does Thanos have a mug now that says Universe's World's Worst Dad for killing his daughter in order to get the soul stone?
Is she dead?
I don't think so.
Because, like, what happened at the end of the movie? Like, he supposedly killed her for that soul stone.
Well,
and then he gets sucked away, right?
Yeah, and she talked to him. She asked him what the cost was. I don't think that she's dead.
And isn't that why he got sucked away? Is because, like, she's back in, like, wherever she got that soul stone? And, like, she's alive, so he's getting sucked back to that space.
It seems like she's right? in the soul universe or whatever mm-hmm. that is, and she's stuck in the soul stones. But,
Because where does he get pulled away to?
Well,
was Red Skull there?
Because in the original Captain America movie, he got sucked into, or he got blown away by the Tesseract, and that's where he was sent to, mm-hmm. like into this place where the Soul Stone lives. And so he's just been there for decades and decades. And that's why he said, like, many people have come looking for it, and that's why he knew the name of, like, Thanos' father, and he was like, Thanos, son of whatever.
It would have been nice to see Hugo Weaving merge the Priscilla Queen of the Desert universe with the Marvel universe.
It wasn't Hugo, though.
It wasn't? It was somebody pretending to be Hugo?
Yeah.
Well, it's just I hate another, that.
Mr. Anderson. You don't hate that. You thought it was. Just believe it was.
Let's talk about the homoerotic tension between Thor and Star-Lord.
And Rocket Raccoon.
No, and Star-Lord and Thor.
Did you mean because Star-Lord was pissed that Gamora was paying attention to him, so they were fighting because for a woman's affection, so therefore it's gay? That's what you're saying?
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Talk
okay.
more about that, Brian.
Well, he got mad because Gamora kept touching him and saying like how beautiful he was, and that's why he was trying to look cooler around Gamora.
He's a pirate and an angel.
Is that what they called him, a pirate angel?
Isn't that what Drax said? He's like, he says, no, you are a dude. This is a pirate.
A pirate angel cannot make love because a pirate angel is love.
Thor... And Drax, they gave Drax, like, Drax, him being invisible, and like, how long have you been standing here? He says, an hour. and then they spent like an entire 2 minutes on his little bit of, like, just eating slowly.
That to me is, like, what I feel the Marvel universe really shines is in those comic moments that deconstructs the whole premise of the superhero movie.
I think I would say that the time that the Marvel and the, it's one of like the problems, quote unquote, with Infinity War that we don't get to have this because of how big it is. Mm-hmm. Is the scene in Age of Ultron where they're all trying to lift Thor's hammer, and that's what we sort of, that's like the greatest scenes of Marvel are just like them being whatever the characters, but just having being incredibly charismatic and having fun and stuff. And that is the wonderfulness of Marvel, is like, and what they've spent so long of them showing us who these characters are and why we like these characters so much and why we don't want bad things to happen to them, because they're our friends. And so, like, when they show up, we're happy and we're like, oh, good, these are our friends. And like, we keep getting new friends. So, like, when Steve Rogers is like, I know somewhere, and they go to Wakanda, fucking the theater erupted in applause. And then you see T'Challa walking around and Princess Shuri comes in and you're like, hey, it's my new friends. I just met you guys, I'm really happy to see you again.
And the White
Lion. Yes, and like everyone just keeps popping up, and it's so wonderful and nice. Oh God! And there were so many scenes like that. In the first one was when Captain America makes his first appearance behind the train. People went apeshit. Mm-hmm. The biggest one is at the end when Thor shows up in Wakanda. Holy fucking shit! Was that awesome?
What happened then?
He just appears and he has his new Stormbreaker axe, and he starts, it just starts going like, and just hitting all of them, and all this lightning, and he has the lightning shit that he got from Thor Ragnarok, and then he goes down and he just like hits it to the ground and everyone falls over. And when Bucky picks up Rocket Raccoon and they start just twirling around and doing the thing that he does with Groot and shooting. And then, and of course, Rocket's like, I'll get that arm.
What was the big laugh? Because I think the biggest laugh came from Mantis. Do you remember her? She said some kind of joke, or she said something, and I kind of barely, I missed it because people laughed so hard. Do you remember it?
What part? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember. I'm sorry. She had a good one-liner that everybody was just like, ah!
Oh,
that's one of those things you have to see that movie twice sometimes.
Was it when Drax thinks that he's invisible and then Mantis comes in and says, hello? Oh, well, then I'm sorry.
What, Mark, what do you think was a standout moment for you that you actually understood? Because you couldn't hear Mantis's joke.
Oh, what's a standout moment for me? What did I really like about the film? Let me think about that. What's the most important? What was
You're telling me you watched this entire movie and you can't? No.
Well, honestly, I've already covered the homoerotic relationship between those two. Homoerotic between the raccoon and them.
The stepfather-stepson relationship between Tony and Peter. Well, your mother's gone, Peter. Did you do your homework, you little slut?
Go home and do your homework.
Well, it's really nice to see Spider-Man finally become an Avenger and get his...
Iron Man now, kid. Yeah,
yeah, and does
finally get his Iron Man, you know, digital full on suit.
Even though that doesn't
smells like the inside of a new car,
but it does negate the entire movie of Spider-Man Homecoming, because the entire movie was spent him making the decision not to become an Avenger. Mm-hmm. But whatever, it's still fun.
It does feel like, you know, we sort of know about these characters to some degree, but if, like, the next film sort of undoes what has been established in the previous film, we don't really care too much, as long as we have a good time.
Mm.
You know, and certainly, like, the Wakandans, I can't figure out if they're an insular society or not, or are they... are people on Earth now know about them, and so they're okay with, like... fighting all the you know, challenges that they face?
Well, they do now know, because at the end of Black Panther, he goes to the United Nations and says, like, hey, now it's time for us to open up, and he gives the money and stuff, so they know.
Like, what do you guys have besides cows or something? You guys are poor or something.
Yeah.
It's like, we'll show you.
I mean, but obviously it's still like a hidden thing. Like, they have a big hologram showing that. And goddamn, that scene was fucking brutal too, with the with those monster alien things just killing themselves, pushing through the force field.
Yeah, they reminded very much of the Alien movie where they discover the Aztec pyramid in the South Pole.
That really old movie, Aliens.
Alien versus the Predator.
I was actually wondering what had been established in the comic books in terms of the premise that, you know. Thanos collects all the magic sparkles in his rainbow belt. And then with Rainbow... Oh, that's the plot to the Rainbow Bright movie.
Oh.
And he manages to make half of the people in the universe disappear because he feels that the universe will be better off with not so many people.
That wasn't... That was nothing to do with the comics.
So they actually have written comics where this premise has been established. And so he loses his mind because he actually gets what he wanted and he's still not happy. And now he feels like a loss. He still feels the pain and the loss of his, the loss of his planet, the loss of his family, and he goes mad. And so Captain Marvel, the lady Captain Marvel, comes and approaches him and convinces him to undo everything. Is that something that's plausible that could happen in sequels to the film?
Well, what happened in the original Infinity Gauntlet when he destroys half the universe, there's like a part of him, he subconsciously knows that he isn't worthy of it. So Nebula goes into like, while he's astral projection or some shit, and goes into his, uses the Infinity Gauntlet to bring back all the heroes and undo everything. And Adam Warlock comes in. There's a whole bunch of shit that isn't going to happen in the next movie, but the big clues.
How do we get out of this situation? Is the question.
It's to me. It's shown what's going to happen, at least a little bit. Doctor Strange has a complete plan. He knows exactly what to do. He looked into the millions of scenarios of how to win. There's only one in which they win, and he says that to Tony. Earlier, he says to Tony, if there's a choice between you or Peter or the Time Stone, I can't save you. I'm not going to save you. I'm going to pick the Time Stone no matter what, because I have to. I'm not going to choose your life over the Time Stone. When the time comes, so they say that and they set that up. So when he chooses Tony's life over the Time Stone, to me, that was to tell the audience, like, this isn't real. Like, he's doing this because there's a plan. And he says to Tony, this is the only way, meaning to me, that means this is the one way that we are able to win. And I feel it's because with Captain Marvel coming, the only way that Thanos would ever possibly let his guard down is if he thought he won. So somehow they're going to be able to bring people back or whatever. We don't know about Captain Marvel. We'll know more about what's going on with her. How she's going to... But that's who Nick Fury calls at the very end. That was Captain Marvel.
And what is Captain Marvel's powers?
Everything? She can do anything.
Yeah, she's like a cosmic entity type of thing. We have to know... You don't know things from reading the comic books with how they transfer into movies. The movies will take like the names and characters and sometimes themes of the comic books, but then oftentimes, and then they'll screw them up so you don't know exactly where you're going or how you're going.
The comics, her, what's her power?
I don't know. She's part, there's a lot of different Captain Marvels, but yeah, she's just, there's like the power of some alien shit. I know that's Scarlet Witch, but yeah, there's a bunch of... I'm really not sure what her powers are.
The Olsen in this movie, what's her... Is that Scarlet Witch? I felt like she was much more powerful in the other movies, and then in this, she was kind of very lackluster in her powers, right?
Until she started fighting in Wakanda, and then they say, why was she up there the whole time?
I know.
Because they have to... Because they had to take her out of the game because she's so powerful, just like the Hulk. Vision and the Hulk and Scarlet Witch could have probably taken Thanos down by themselves, but they needed to take them out, so they figured out a way where she had to wait for Vision and destroy the stone when it was taken out of Vision's mind or just kill Vision if the time was. So that was why. But yeah, she's able to bend reality. She's able to do pretty much anything in the comic book. She's super strong. But yeah, there's that, and then There's, yeah.
Is Vision dead for good?
No.
Nobody's dead for good.
Because she was like, that was that kind of thing, was like the scientist lady from Wakanda.
Shuri.
Shuri, she was dissecting his brain's connection to the Infinity Stone in his forehead. And she was almost done when they all broke in. Basically, I'm guessing that she was done and they can bring back together.
That was one of like the roughest parts of the movie, where he just rips the stone and all the circuits are ripped out and stuff, and then he just turns into this black husk. Yeah, that was rough.
But did he like fade away like the other ones too at the end?
No, but he's not organic matter though. Uh-huh. He's an android. Uh-huh. So Scarlet Witch did.
So he'll be back.
So now, considering there's going to be a sequel to the Guardians of the Galaxy, what, and all the remaining Guardians, spoiler alert, Star-Lord, Groot, Drax, and Mantis,
all Guardians, perish. All Peter, all of them did.
All of them are gone. So how is the sequel? This is the thing that, you know, they kill off so many important characters in this film, and then they're going to release films where their characters are not gone. So
different timeline, right?
Yeah. To me, I would have liked to have seen them sort of keep that interconnectivity, you know, not show, you know what I'm saying? Like, it feels weird then seeing them again.
I mean, it's comic book rules. So yeah. But it's also, I don't know. I always disagree about that, because death and stuff like that, like, it matters, but it usually, it's not that big of a deal. Like, it's unless it's a cheap thing that you can tell, like, they're just doing it for no apparent reason, but it feels like there's a big reason why they destroyed half the universe, but it's part of the story. Like, there's Gandalf dying or whatever, like, these things happen, Harry Potter dying, Jesus. All these people, like, die for a reason and then come back, and as long as the story can give you a good reason as to why they did that, it's more just like a metaphor for something else going on in your life. But there's not many stories or movies where the heroes die. Like, that's such, it's always an odd thing when people are like, well, you know they're not going to die because they have more movies that's coming out. And it's like, how many movies do you watch where the main characters die? Like, that doesn't really happen in adventure movies or action movies.
That's very satisfying, is that they sort of go to this logical conclusion of what happens when the villain actually gets what he wants.
Yes, and, like,
but the audience was very dissatisfied, and they end the movie pretty abruptly, you know, to lead into a sequel. And I thought it was really interesting to hear a collective groan, as if millions per, what did they say in Star Wars?
A million voices cried out and were silenced.
Yeah. That was definitely like the and then the ending credits come up, and you're expecting a little teaser, and they pause, and they're like, nah, we're not giving you a teaser right now. And then they just keep on going with the credits, and the whole crowd's like, oh. And it's interesting how now audiences have been trained to stay in the movie theater to watch the credits in order to get these little teasers.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Marvel knows what they're doing. People want to see stuff.
And they want to wait. They want that anticipation.
That's also like where we are as a society in 2018. Nothing else makes us this crazed. Like, and it's wonderful, because season finales and stuff like that, like, don't really do this as much anymore, because of like binge watching and stuff like that. It's not really a week to week type of life anymore that we live. So like, it's nice to have something to like chew on and be like, oh, I wonder what happens with this and that.
And I remember when Donald Trump became president, you were like, listen, all is not lost. We still have the Infinity Wars movie coming out. We have Thor Ragnarok. And you were mentioning all the wonderful things that are still going to happen, even though we have a dipshit in the White House.
Yeah. And we have Ant-Man's coming up, and Han Solo, if anyone gives a shit.
One thing that got me was that I thought for sure was going to happen is because when they were fighting those aliens that were in the city in New York, and Doctor Strange made one of those little like holes that he makes, and then he closed, like the alien was there and he was reaching through, and then he closed the hole real quick, and then the arm got severed.
Oh yeah.
And I was just like, ooh, that's how they're going to separate Thanos from the gauntlet. But it didn't happen.
Yeah,
maybe in movie two.
Yeah, perhaps,
I'm reading on a lot of different forums that a lot of people expected that to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, the thing about it is that these filmmakers understand your expectations and they have that scene with the alien getting its arm cut off so you can see, so you can be like, ah, this is how it's going to end. And so when you actually see that all the efforts didn't succeed, I thought it was actually in some ways a very healthy image to present to American audiences in a mainstream film is what happens when America doesn't get what it wants. When we fail,
it's also,
how do we cope with loss and failure?
It's also that it was also like really, really great that I thought that Thanos had a point, like, and also like he wasn't evil, or like he was, but only in the sense of, but it wasn't like the evil where it's like I want to take over the universe type of thing, like. He felt this had to be done in order for the universe to be able to sustain itself, which is actually possibly true. Like, there is a finite amount of resources in the world. So in order or in the universe, I guess. So like, and he's seen it fall apart or whatever. So, but what he wanted was to get rid of half the universe so that the rest of the other half would be able to live happier and easier and better. But then all he wanted to do was retire and just be by himself, which is amazing. Like, that doesn't really happen in any type of these movies where the person wants no glory or power. They're done. When they're done, they will just give it all up for just sitting by themselves.
Well, isn't there a thing called abortion for that? I mean,
but, you know,
Margaret Atwood said it in an interview. You can control the population through the death end or the birth end. And I'd rather choose the birth end than the more brutal death end.
We could also use birth control and family planning. But, you know, when you look at they credit the European Renaissance with the fact that the Black Plague had happened and they lost 3/4 of the population of Europe. And so there was a massive land redistribution, and it really helped with like commerce and education because people were like, we need to focus. We need to pull ourselves together.
And wars used to do that, like world wars. Used to take care of population because, like, nature figures stuff out and it will start. If we don't do it by ourselves, then nature figures out a way to just get rid of a lot of people off of the earth. But I'm not saying, like, he's correct. We should do this because,
Thanos did nothing wrong.
But, like, when Gamora's like, you're insane, that didn't really make sense to me because it's like, everything he's saying, like, is logical. It's
it's cruel and heartless.
But that's your opinion because
he's murdering people.
Okay, but you're for murdering certain people, aren't you?
Who?
Bad people, quote unquote.
Not really.
No. Okay, people that are hurting other people.
Define hurt.
Killing.
I'm not for the death penalty, and I'm
kill
I'm
or be killed. All right. Anyway, okay. So if someone's gonna
you're like a Thor where Thanos did nothing wrong.
No, I'm not. I'm saying it makes sense, and it's not a normal supervillain of I want to have absolute power. I'm saying, like, what's amazing about his character is he has a plan. It has nothing to do with being cruel, being powerful or anything. It's a very, like, pragmatic thing of, like, we need to get rid of this amount of people because of the fate of the universe. And it's a macro way of thinking that you see from people with having to deal with people, things like this, like Elon Musk saying, like, Mars, like, the first people on Mars, hundreds will die or something. And people are like, holy shit, that's crazy. But when you're talking, he's talking about, like, in his mind, I'm saying, he's talking about, like, saving humanity by going to Mars. So if you're saying something like, in order to save all of humanity, 30 million people have to die, that isn't a big deal in the sense of the big, big picture. And so it's a different way of thinking that thankfully we don't have to. Like, if we had to be like, hey, I'm putting in new windows so 10 of your neighbors are going to die, we'd be like, what the fuck? That's crazy. Like, that doesn't make sense. But we also are people that are like, allowing for, like, hey, if you guys want iPhones, we'll get child slaves to make them. And we're like, okay, that sounds good. We like it. And we like cheap stuff, and we like going to Target and Walmart and all that shit and everything made by child slaves. So, in a sense, it's kind of hypocritical for us to call out Thanos, because Thanos is making, as he said, he's making the choices that we aren't, like, strong enough to make, and we want others to make to keep us safe in a way. He's doing it on a crazy level, obviously.
I don't know. I disagree with you completely. I think that there's intelligent ways to handle this. And, you know, instead of, like, starving, you know, killing half your population, why don't you try feeding them? Why don't you try birth control? Why don't you try better farming? There's a lot of alternatives than there is to killing half your population. And that's easy way out.
And I think that's, you know, a lot of these films are made to appeal to middle America. Mm-hmm. A vast majority of Americans who define things in this kind of black or white, life or death kind of way. And as Marcus and Margaret Atwood point out, you can certainly handle overpopulation and the dwindling of resources in a constructive manner and not in a just destructive manner, as is Thanos, or, you know, the abortion debate frames it.
Well, Thanos is, he wants everything to be perfectly balanced. So he's like, he's all about the left brain way of thinking. It's all mathematical. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't really have that with villains. There's always, like, this pettiness to most villains where they want. And it was amazing to see a movie with this guy who had this plan that made sense and wasn't, like, because this is what I want. It was a guy saying, like, I don't want to do this, but, like, I have to do this because I need to save the universe. And then when he does it, he just goes off on a little rock in a village. And, like, that's amazing. I've never seen something like that.
So what do you guys look forward to seeing in the next Infinity Wars movie that comes out in a year from now?
Well, I'd like to see an actual resolution to it, but I have a feeling it's going to be a three-parter now.
It'll be like Lord of the Rings, five parts.
You know,
but they've already shot it.
Oh, they have?
Yeah. Okay. They shot it one together, twice together.
They'll have, like, another full-length movie, and then the next one will be like, oh, if you want to see the last 30 minutes, you have to pay another $12.
Yeah. They'll turn off the projector 30 minutes and be like, give us money.
They'll shake you down during it.
Bob Iger comes out and just starts punching all of us, and he's like, you want money, bitch? I want to see, well, it's what they're building up to. It's what they've been, they fucking cock-teased us and fucking tickled our asses with feathers the entire movie. We want to see the Hulk out. We need to see Tony give Cap his shield back, and we need to see the Avengers standing together. Mm-hmm. Tony and Steve, we also need to see them hug it out and be like, you know what, I was wrong. No, I was wrong.
A little kiss, it's a little tongue.
A little
Paul Trigger had that baby.
A little, the Batman's head upon a lance. And I want to see what Doctor Strange's great plan was. I want to see, they have to be building up to the famous circular shot in the original Avengers of them all together. They have to be building up to, like, the amazing biggest version of that. With all 4,000 Avengers standing, like, in Wakanda, and the circular shot takes 6 hours to get around all of them. It's just a giant field they're all standing in. Yeah, and I want to see Gamora. I want to see what's going on with that. I want to see if Thanos is going to be reasoned with. If they're going to be able to have him be talked to. And, like, shown that he did the wrong thing. I wonder if there's going to be regret for Thanos and what he did was wrong, and he wishes that he could do it all over again somehow. I would like that. Like, there's a lot of things. Like, it's just, I'm happy. I love that I never know what's going to happen in Marvel movies. They are always able to surprise me, and that's very rare. You usually know exactly what's going to happen.
Would you like to know what I think?
Yes, I'm looking at you.
Because I was waiting for you to finish. Thank you so much for talking passionately about the Marvel Infinity Wars and sharing because I know that it means a lot to you, and I know how excited you get about it. And
yes,
and it's like it's fun to hear you sort of run out of breath because you have so much to say about it. One of our guests of our show, Seth Nays, his alter drag persona is Madame Marvel. And Seth has told me many times that, you know, Captain Marvel has been a drag inspiration of his and many other people. And in the comic books, she represents a much more than just, you know, a female Superman. So in the upcoming Captain Marvel film and in the sequel to the Infinity War, we'll see that character fully realized in film. And I think sort of the same way that Wonder Woman mm-hmm. had such a profound impact on people having discussions of female representation mm-hmm. in a very masculine, very heteronormative world, it's nice to see Captain Marvel be portrayed as a woman and seeing that character brought to life. Mm. And can we just get a little, you know, LGBT in this Marvel universe?
No.
Just a teeny
tiny bisexual lighting, maybe?
Isn't that?
I don't want more lighting. I want the, you know, so these are some of the most beautiful people in Hollywood, some of the most charismatic, playful, bromantic relationships. It couldn't kill them to have 1/100th of the Marvel Universe be a little bit LGBT.
I mean, it would really hurt their bottom line because there's a lot of countries where they wouldn't be able to open the movie. So, yes, I feel it would kill them a bit.
Oh.
I'm sorry. These movies.
You made a lot of friends today.
I'm sorry. Yes. It's all bisexual lighting and whatever the fuck else you want. That's what Disney wants. Mm-hmm. That's what they don't really like money. That's not what these are for.
It's to make
it's for Tumblr
fan art.
Thank you
so much for coming on the podcast. It was always a pleasure.
It's always a wonderful pleasure. I'm glad everyone is here and queer and proud and marveling out loud.
I want to remind you folks out there that we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus or visit our store at feastoffun.com/store. And we're still working Fausto's GoFundMe because we still don't know what the final bill tally is going to be on his cancer and surgery. And you can find that at GoFundMe.com/Fausto.
You have cancer? And we raised $20,000. I'll buy a Bucky-style arm, chop off my arm, and punch homophobia in the face and say, Marvel, put some LGBT characters in these films and fly them over and have Wakanda force the rest of China and Africa to let the new Infinity War with lots of same-sex kissing happening. Showing them in theaters.
Share.
Show them in theaters.
Bring share.
And I'm like, you know, so what if it hurts their bottom line? It's like, we should have LGBT representation in these films.
Well, go talk to all the shareholders who like billions of dollars.
Well, by us talking about this film and standing up and talking about it in a public space, I think it is a healthy thing to say, expect and demand and ask for that kind of diversity. There ain't nothing wrong with that, baby.
That's right.
They just made $500 million over the weekend without it.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like they...
They didn't have to have female characters. They don't need to have a racially diverse cast either. But the fact that they're doing that, I think, is healthy, and I think it's a wonderful thing. And I like to encourage that diversity continue and extend it to everybody. And not just the character you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disney. Yeah. Kevin Feige. Get them gay. I want all these Avengers.
Avengers go gay.
I want to see.
Just a teeny tiny bit. I'm just asking for a little wink.
What if it's Scarlet Witch and Black Widow just scissoring? You okay with that?
Sure.
What if they're just like, you know what? It's really freaking me out, this whole thing. And she's like, me too. And they start making out a little bit.
Well, and part of it is that, you know, we have, as Oprah says, we have a really hard time expressing same-sex affection in our society. And so when we see two women sort of saying, I love you, we immediately jump into a conclusion that they're banging pussies.
We're hoping.
We're thinking about it.
Jerking it.
And so that's part of the mindset behind the Oprah and Gail King, you know, relationship. And so as these filmmakers are making these films, you know, it presents a really great opportunity to take these characters in exciting new places. If they can make some of these films that are not necessarily trying to make this juggernaut every single time,
but that's explore. X-Men.
And maybe, you know, that's also, we can see that on television, and X-Men can also be that as well.
They haven't even had gay characters in the X-Men, and that's the gayest superhero franchise ever.
They have in the comic books.
I'm talking about the movies.
Yeah.
We're talking about the movies.
Them, It is sort of, well, you know, actually Deadpool is the one who actually is bisexual and actually flirts with male characters in the film.
Yeah, but because he's supposed to be insane and funny, it's all a joke. It's hilarious that a guy would be attracted to a guy.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious that, like, a guy would want to get pegged. Like,
but at least we're getting something. We're seeing, like I said, it's a 1/100th.
I want to see Logan get his ass eaten out by fucking Colossus.
Yeah.
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 Me so Where hungry.
And he's like,
me so horny.
Mutant. And you know Logan's asshole is hairy as fuck. Looks like the Australian outfit.
Spikes comes out of there, too.
Yeah. And he sings Les Miserables songs. Who am I? I'm a guy in his ass.
The singing asshole has been done. Brian, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for letting me talk forever.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. I love you, Peaches.